This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dan Kish of the Institute for Energy Research. He's with me now to discuss a couple of important developments in the energy debate. Number one, the Obama administration's latest attempt to impose a six-month moratorium on deepwater drilling in the Gulf of Mexico, the latest of which would extend to the end of November. The other issue is a little bit more imminent, and that's Democratic efforts to pass, particularly in the Senate, their version of cap-and-trade energy legislation prior to the August recess. And Dan, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Well, let's start with the breaking news, though, and that's the moratorium. The administration said as much last week when it lost on the three-judge panel in the Court of Appeals on this moratorium issue that it would just issue a new one. So what exactly is new about this?
They differentiated it, I guess, to get around the lawsuit. They'll just get another one. But what they've done, instead of calling it deep water, and they're now calling it floating rigs. So, in essence, that's what you use anyway in deep water. So this pretty much covers the same things, but they can make another argument before the courts. And in the meantime, nothing's going on. So in reality, there is a moratorium. No one is investing money right now in the Gulf. No one is drilling. As a matter of fact, we've lost our first drill ship. It's the beginning of an exodus, and this time it's an exodus to Egypt, where they're going to be drilling for a couple of years. So that's what they're doing. They're trying to get around the court rejecting their position as being illegal, and we'll see if they get slapped down the way they did before.
Dan, the stated reason for all this, of course, is to ensure safety, to inspect other platforms, make sure that there's a plan in place if another rig ruptures, as what happened with the Deepwater Horizon platform. How legitimate is that in calling for this moratorium?
Well, the courts have held that it is illegitimate, that there's nothing. And basically what they did, Greg, was immediately following the disaster, the secretary sent out teams of inspectors to look at all these rigs that he's now shut down, and they found nothing wrong with those rigs. And so they've already done the inspection of the rigs. On top of that, he asked for the National Academy of Engineering to put together a objective analysis of things, and they have since said that they did not call for a moratorium. As a matter of fact, they think it is more unsafe to stop the drilling and to suspend drilling in the Gulf than it is to have continued drilling and stop future operations from going forward. So on both of those, he's been rejected, but they continue to not to want any drilling in the Gulf, and the consequences are being felt by the people who live there.
Dan, let's move now to the issue of the president's version of energy reform legislation. Of course, the House passed it last year, and now we're hearing reports that the Senate is going to try and get their version, the Kerry Lieberman bill, through before the August recess. We've obviously seen these deadlines before. We went through a slew of them on the healthcare legislation, most of which came and went, and eventually the bill passed in March. Is this really a do-or-die deadline here at the end of this month?
I don't think so, Greg. That's what it appears to be, but there's a lot in Washington that happens behind the curtain, and the truth is the House has already passed a bill, and the Senate has to pass a bill to get to what's called conference, like what happened with the health care bill. And if it has anything to do with energy, it's quite likely that, so for example, if they passed a bill dealing with new safety requirements or new taxes on offshore oil energy, they could theoretically match that up in a conference after the election this fall and do it when they may have already lost their majority that allows them to do these things, and they could do so with impunity. And that's the real fear for those people who are worried about the cost of energy and our ability to compete around the world, is that they'll pull a fast one. The consumer and our industries and our jobs will end up paying for that because they've allowed something to pass through the Senate that allows them to sit down in a closed room and work out some deal that the president likes.
Dan, how different is the Senate bill from the House bill, and is it any better?
It's about the same in terms of costs, Greg. It's done a little differently. There are some industries that end up doing less worse than other industries would in the House. It's sort of those that screamed the loudest after the House bill somehow got taken care of a little better in the Senate bill. But at the end of the day, for consumers, it's still the same bad news. Energy costs will necessarily skyrocket, as the president has said he wants to do. And the cost of that will affect our ability to compete in the world. So ultimately, it's the same game. It's old wine and new bottles.
Dan, real quickly, what do you expect to happen before the recess on this?
They're going to try very hard to move something to make it look as though they're concentrating on what happened with the BP spill. But unfortunately, until that is closed and until the inspections find out exactly what happened down there, Greg, it's going to be hard to pass legislation that has any bearing on reality. So they're shooting in the dark here, but they may very well be able to do it. They have strong majorities in both the House and Senate.
Dan, we'll be watching. I know you will, very closely as well. Thank you very much for being with us today, as always.
Thanks, Greg.
Dan Kish of the Institute for Energy Research. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.